What did you say this is?
What a day.
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 With Joe Lowry.
That's right. The Milan phenom, JT Energy, took Nico Klein, bit his back, and made him tap. That's right. You know why? I heard this thing the other day from you specifically. It's Hey Joe, What a Day from the Feline Phenom, JT Energy.
Oh, hey, welcome everybody to What a Day with Joe Lowry. I'm your host, Joe What a Day Lowry, coming to you live here from the Maple Street Studios, courtesy of Monty and the Pharaoh YouTube channel. Thank you for tuning in live, as well as on the replay. And of course, a shout out to the chat. Everybody that's in the chat already rock and roll, greatly appreciated. And how is everybody on this What a Day Wednesday, this wicked Wednesday? And folks, we like to call it hump day, but as you all know, I like to call it the week's middle finger. That's right, folks. We're halfway there, folks, halfway to the weekend. And of course, Easter is this weekend. Can you believe it? Boy, that snuck up pretty quick. Actually, Easter is kind of early this year, from what I recall. So yeah, this is probably the earliest I've seen in a while, but March 31st. Yes, Easter is Sunday. And I had a good question for everybody out there. You know, Easter in my family growing up was more like a food holiday more than anything. So ham was always the center of attraction. But of course, coming from an Irish-Italian family, pasta and meatballs were already on the side. So let me throw this question out there to everybody in the chat right here. Boom. What is on your Easter dinner menu? Yeah, tell us what you got. Tell us in the chats, comments, whatever. Let me know. I know we always did the ham thing, but meatballs and spaghetti and all that good stuff were always off to the side on that one. But let me know. What is on your Easter dinner menu? I like to hear some diverse menus. I'm sure we got all that. So we got a big show lined up for you tonight. First Lady of Wrestling, the lovely and vivacious Ms. Maria Antoinette Davis will be joining us in a few moments. But first off, I want to give a shout out to everyone at Madhouse Wrestling. That's right. I went to my first indie wrestling show this past Saturday, me and Baby Cakes. And just thank you, everybody, to Luke, everybody, for making us feel at home. What a great show they put on. Most of these indies wrestlers really show their true appreciation. Half these guys traveled 4, some 5, some 6 hours away just to wrestle for a few minutes in front of a couple of hundred strong. So, you know, JT Energy, Connor Hopkins, the Hale twins. Yes, they are Hales. Those girls captured the tag team title. In case you haven't seen it, I'm going to go ahead and show you a quick highlight reel here. Where are you, highlight reel? Take a look at this real quick.
We are going to show them that women can do anything that men can do.
Definitely. No.
Yes. She's back. She's got a game. Oh, my God. I don't believe it. Oh, my. Wow. Oh, my. Oh. Oh, another game thrown in there. And the Hale twins are going out. I can't believe it. This is insanity. Man taking a women. Look out. Oh, look out. My goodness. Oh, in the stomach. I don't believe this. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The carnage. Now they're going. They got it. The Hale twins got it.
Yes.
Wow.
And
you're going to love it there, folks. What a rowdy crowd. Yeah, that was yours truly doing the play-by-play there. I was Facebook Live, actually, and that was just going nuts. But it was a good time. Luke Raven. Everybody at Madhouse Wrestling, great show. If you get a chance, follow Madhouse Wrestling on Facebook. And if you ever get the opportunity to see them live, do so. What a Day Joe highly recommends it. So you got to check that out. All right. So moving on here. Ronda Rousey's book due out April 2nd. You've seen all the excerpts coming out. Now the backlash is starting to take place. A lot of wrestling experts are calling her just plain bitter now at this point. You know, she was a wrestler for the WWE, and she has had nothing but negative things to say outside of the Triple H, Stephanie McMahon stuff. But other than that, she just didn't want to wrestle no more for WWE. So check that out. That's due out April 2nd. And as just a segue into that, in case you subscribe to Sports Kita's newsletters, yeah, yours truly might have popped up into your inbox this morning as I was another guest column for Joe Lowry Rants. This time I was talking about her book, which is truly a SHIT show. That's right, folks. I got a quick synopsis that you want to check that out. If you do want to subscribe to that, it's a free service, sportskita.com/newsletters. You can sign up for that free service delivered right to your inbox every Wednesday for that too. All right, so moving on here. What else we got? Happy Gilmore cast. That's right. Happy Gilmore 2 may soon be a reality. That's right. Christopher McDonald, who played Shooter McGavin in the 1996 cult classic, told a Cleveland radio station this past week that there is a script circulating around for the sequel. And this was actually followed up yesterday by Adam Sandler, who himself told Dan Patrick on his show that the movie is in the works. And of course, the internet ate it up. And just recently, a cast lineup has been shown, as you can see here. Adam Sandler, Chris McDonald, they all resume their roles. Obviously, Chubbs is no longer with us. Carl Weathers passed away, and so did Bob Barker. But as you can see, Tiger Woods is cast as Chubbs Jr. And Paige Spiraniak is going to be the public relations lady. So that'll be, and Sydney Sweeney is the cart girl. So it's going to be kind of neat there. So there is a sequel in the mix. No word on when production will begin. All right. So we're moving on here. Hey, Maria, I see in the chat. Feel free to click that link I sent you so I can get you in on backstage because we're supposed to have you on the show. Remember? Anyways, as you know, there is a huge event happening this next week. And no, it's not WrestleMania. It is the solar eclipse that'll be taking place on Monday, April 8th. Now, this is a big deal as the path of totality is primarily Mexico to the Midwest, up to the Great Lakes region, and so forth. Now, with all the hoopla surrounding this magnificent event, states are already preparing for an influx of tourism. I got the wrong thing on here. Excuse me. Sorry about that. So there's hoopla surrounding this magnificent event. States are already preparing for an influx of tourists from all over the world. Hotels, campsites, Airbnbs all sold out for this event. And now officials are warning of a possible cell interruption. And it's not the reason you think. It's not because that the cell companies can't handle it. They're just afraid with the influx of traffic, millions of people in one small, heavily populated area, you're going to have cell phone outages, or at the very least disruptions that will take place. Now, here I am thinking it was due to the sun being blocked, but nonetheless, yeah. So the power cell outage or whatever will be taking place. I see Maria backstage. I see you there. Hold on. We're going to get to you in a moment. Just go through my quick lineup here. And as we all know, you probably saw this by now. In case you haven't, let me remind you. The look that Nia gave at the end is priceless. But nonetheless, you've seen the stink face heard around the world at a house show this past weekend in Springfield, Illinois. Well, not to be outdone by her fiance, Buddy Matthews put out a tweet just yesterday saying, yeah, it's a weekly occurrence for him. I just had to put that up there. I just thought that was a ride. I love, you know, this is, you talk about cross promotion at its finest. Here it is. Former WWE superstar Buddy Matthews, now AEW superstar, commenting on his wife's stink face over this past weekend. You gotta love it. You gotta love it. So anyways, all right. So have you guys heard this one? This was kind of shocking to me. So if your arteries weren't compromised enough, it was announced yesterday that Krispy Kreme donuts will partner up with McDonald's to sell their iconic donuts. That's right. The donut chain announced that after testing its three famous flavors, the original glazed, chocolate ice sprinkles, and their delicious chocolate ice cream filled donuts at over 160 locations, they have decided to make it official. So if you thought the lines are long enough for breakfast now at Mickey D's, you just have to wait a bit longer now as these donuts hit the restaurants. Nationwide availability will be at all participating restaurants, not until the end of 2026. But hopefully you can get in to see your cardiologist much sooner than that. I got to tell you. All right. So real quickly, I'm going to take a real quick break. I got to pay some bills here. And we'll be right back.
And APB, American Protection Bureau, voted number one best on Long Island for all your security needs. Call 631-390-9050. That's 631-390-9050. APB.
You need a body shop? You need engine repair? Auto Excellence, Collision Specialists, 631-261-6420. That's 631-261-6420. Auto Excellence. Jimmy, I gotta take a dump.
What?
No, I mean I need a dumpster.
Well, for all those needs, you need to call Big V Dumpster Rental, Long Island, New York, 631-900-DUMP.
Elm Logistics, for all your logistic needs, call 631-299-3595. That's 631-299-3595. Elm Global Logistics, pride, performance, and partnerships.
All right, folks, we are back. And as promised, we're going to be joined by the First Lady of Wrestling, Miss Maria Antoinette Davis. I've also brought in another cohort of mine, actually the president of, you know him as the president of Thursday Night, Phil DeCesare. So we're going to bring everybody onto the stage now. Phil, Maria, welcome to What a Day.
Hello.
Hello, First Lady. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. Good to see you, Phil. Good to see you, Joe. And good to see everybody tonight.
Well, it's great to have you, Maria. You know, I brought Phil on here because I know you guys are big fans of one another and so forth. So I just thought I'd
greetings
and so forth. Now, Maria, you're the First Lady of Wrestling. And I got to tell you, you're probably one of the most educated wrestling fans I've ever come across.
Thank you.
So I just want to give you kudos to that. Now, we've been chatting back and forth with some wrestling stories and so forth. Tell our viewers, the viewers out there, just a little background of who Maria Antoinette Davis is.
Okay, yes. Well, I am from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I have three older brothers. My mom is still living, and I take care of her, and my dad is deceased. So I am a Pittsburgher for life, and educated and well-groomed in the facts of life, and especially wrestling. Yes.
Nice. Nice. Phil, I don't have to ask you your background. So I know. So we've been talking here. You had some interactions with wrestlers throughout your time and so forth. And I've highlighted a couple of stories here. Why don't you tell some of the fans out there the time you saw the Rockers at the Civic Arena in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania?
Yeah, this is so funny. The first time I saw the Rockers, it was back like in the late 80s, early 90s. Sure. And so we had a store here in Pittsburgh. It was called Honus Wagner. And I would take binoculars to wrestling matches because I like to get an up and close view of the wrestlers. And I'm telling you guys, when they announced the Rockers, oh my God, everybody, women were just screaming. They were fainting. They had to call the paramedics in because there was just pandemonium. And when they turned the house lights on, you know something's going on. And I remember Marty and Sean came out and they had their pink tights on and they were well tanned and the hair was flowing and they were rocking the place out. Wow. And it was so funny that it took about like maybe 20 minutes because it was just hysterical. And I focused in on, I'm like, oh my God, these guys are gorgeous. Do people really look like this? I mean, that must be that Southern bred lifestyle, you know? Yeah. And they were so great and they won their match that night. And it was just awesome to see them. And I first started to see them on Vern Gagne's wrestling station. It used to come on ESPN on Saturdays. Okay. And we would get it like three times a day, like the morning, afternoon, and evening time. Yes. Wow.
Heavy rotation at that, huh?
Yes. Yes.
Interesting. All right. So tell us about the time you touched the chest of somebody.
Well, let me tell you about that. Well, Dr. Frank Costa, who at the time was the wrestling physician here, who would attend the wrestling matches at the old Civic Arena, I met him when I was putting myself through college at this restaurant called the Park Shinley here. Okay. And he said to me, oh, do you like wrestling? And I said, oh, yeah. He says, well, you know what? Hey, I got some tickets for you. And you and your friends can go. And I said, fine. So we went, and the wrestling tickets that we got were on the floor. I almost passed out. Mm-hmm. And it was on a Sunday, because I remember it was Shawn Michaels, it was Mark Marrow, it was John Cena, it was The Rock, and I can't remember the other wrestlers. So my friend said, hey, I'm going to take my little kids. I said, yeah, bring them. We can introduce them to wrestling. And so after everybody's match went on and they won, and it was on a Sunday. And I think what happened is, when they start putting our matches here on Sundays, the crowds weren't as strong as they were on Friday nights and Saturdays. But nevertheless, that was a good card. So we all went, and it was predominantly females there that afternoon anyway. And so after Sean, you know, he came up to the ring, and you know how arrogant he was, you know, and he was rocking the hairstyle, and he had on all white. I can remember these. He had on all white, and he had the sunglasses on, he had the white vest on, and you know, he was just into himself. He just loved himself to death, and so did all of us. So after he won his match and everything, he's coming down out of the ring, and we were on the first row. So me, I'm a touchy-feely kind of a woman. So I just touched his chest, and he was like, woo, you know, gave me that, you know, pretty boy, you know, HBK, like, wink, like, yeah. And I'm like, ooh, you know, I said, I got kids here, you know, I can't do stuff like that. But it was a good show, though. Yeah.
So loving it up. Now, you've worked in the entertainment field, correct?
Yes. I used to work at our radio station here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and it's called WAMO, okay. Sheridan Broadcasting Corporation. And I was the receptionist there.
Oh, wow.
And it was so funny. And how I received this position was Joe Kane, who at the time was the president of the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania Hotel Association. And I was working in nonprofits as a receptionist. So he said to me, you know what? He says, what are you doing here? And I said, well, I like it here. I get a chance to meet the tourists. He says, no, I know the president of WAMO, and you need to go down there. I said, okay. And he didn't tell me that I was going to be auditioning. And so what happened is, when I went down there, I interviewed for the position, and my former manager said, well, let me take you upstairs, Maria. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to meet all the DJs, the on-air talents. And so I went into the studio, and the directors were there. So they gave me a cold script. And you know what a cold script is. Oh, yeah. It's a script that they give you that you don't have time to read over it or study. Yeah, well. And there was a big clock up there in the center. Yeah. And the director said, this is how I want you to do the commercial. It was for 30 to 60 seconds. So I said, okay. And I didn't have my readers on. So you know what happens. You know?
Oh, no.
But I learned that when I was taking courses in this, you never stop when you make a mistake. You just keep going. Sure. So I did. And I nailed it. I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, I really did this. And she said, you're hired. And he said, you know what? We want you to do 3 commercials for us.
Oh, nice.
I was like, wow. And I and he said, but we got to sign you up with SAG-AFTRA. So I am a member of SAG-AFTRA.
Nice.
And so I said, well, how do I go about doing that? And they told me. And then I start doing commercials for them. And start writing commercials for them and doing, you know, everything they wanted, from liners to tags. I did the morning host show for the Tom Joyner Morning Show.
Okay.
And wow. And then I did some commercials. And then my voice was, you know, it just expanded out until it went all the way around the world. So I had a plan. It was fun doing that, too. So then I was also, you know, just very interested in learning the business. And one thing I can say is I do thank them so much because I learned so much how to produce, how to direct, how to interview guests, like you all are doing with me, and how to really put a show together. Right. And I also had the opportunity to work 9 years on my former producer's podcast.
Oh, nice, nice. So, how long have you been a wrestling fan overall? Like, how many years, you would say?
That's easy. Since I was 8 years old.
Wow.
Yes.
So, who were the world champions back then?
Oh, I loved Bruno Sammartino, Dominic DiNucci. Let's see who else was it. Killer Kowalski. I like Chief J. Strongbow. Of course, The Rock's grandfather, like Peter Maivia. I loved Baron Sakluna. The list goes on and on. And SD Jones. And I got a chance to touch his shoulder. That's all I've been doing. Just touching and seeing.
Now, there's one story here that I need for you to talk about again, because we've been chatting about it. I want the listeners, the viewers to know. Ric Flair. You had a situation with Ric Flair. Why don't you fill us in on that one?
Okay. Ooh. Well, Dr. Frank Costa, who was the gentleman who gave me the wrestling tickets, he was the attending physician that night. And it was on a Friday night. And it was Ric Flair. And he had just come to, you know, WWF at the time. And he was like real arrogant, real mouthy and everything. And so he had his match. And I can't remember who he was wrestling. And so he got thrown into the turnbuckles and he hurt his shoulder. I'm not sure if it was the left or the right. So after the match was over, he goes in the back. So he goes up to Dr. Frank Costa and he says, can you give me like an injection? And he says, no, we're not allowed to do that. We can only examine you. And if it's bad, then we can just refer you to the hospital, which was across the street at the time. Sure. Well, he didn't want to hear that. He was irate. So it was Barry Windham and Mike Rotunda. They had to grab Ric Flair because he was trying to attack the doctor.
Wow.
So the doctor, after it was over, he wrote a letter to Vince and called Vince and told Vince what had happened. Well, Vince apologized and he asked Ric Flair, would he? And Ric Flair, heck no, he would not do it. So then Dr. Costa, he wrote a letter to the Pennsylvania State Athletic Commission and told them about the situation that Ric Flair had did. So they wrote a letter in turn to Vince McMahon, and they explained to him that this type of, you know, behavior is not going to be tolerated here, and the threats that he made against Dr. Frank Costa. And they said if he were to do this again, they would definitely ban him from wrestling here in the state of Pennsylvania. And you know, that was pretty bad. And so afterwards, I did see the letters that he did write to Vince McMahon and to the Pennsylvania State Athletic Commission. I did see that with my own two eyes. Yes.
Wow. So they were pretty much suspend the his license to wrestle in Pennsylvania, because back then you needed a license to wrestle in those states.
Right. And at one time the wrestlers had to come to Pennsylvania to be examined by the physicians here.
Oh, okay. Nice. Mm-hmm. Jeez. Phil, what do you got to say about that? That's a hell of a story there.
I've never heard that story before, Maria. That's amazing. And I guess just another testament to Mr. Flair's occasional volatility, huh?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And
And it couldn't have went any better as Barry Windham and Mike Rotunda going in as the U.S. Express Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
it's funny. You know, I emailed Maria just to give me a couple of stories, and she gave me a couple of doozies there. So that was kind of neat hearing that story. Unbelievable. Yes. So you've been in public speaking, Maria. You sound very eloquent. How did you get the nickname the First Lady of Professional Wrestling?
I think this gentleman right here.
There you go.
The president of the Thursday Night Wrestling.
So we have the First Lady of Professional Wrestling, the president of Thursday Night. I'm feeling left out here.
And after being elected, I elected Maria as the First Lady of Professional Wrestling. So
I truly am grateful for that. Thank
and
you.
You resemble the remark. You are. There is no other.
Is that like a permanent position? You can never
absolutely
lose that title.
It's for life, man.
Yes, yeah. We are live.
Yeah. Now, Maria, I know you. I think I saw your comment, but they go so quick there. What's your Easter dinner going to consist of this year?
Well.
Oh, what did you have growing up? You can, you know, put it that way.
What was I like growing up? I was a bratty kid.
You're a bratty kid.
Yeah, friend. I'm the only girl, so I'm the baby girl.
Oh, there you go.
Brothers were older than me. Two of them were in law enforcement. And it was hard for guys to date me because they were thinking, oh my God, what is our brothers going to think? Wow. So, you know, that was kind of like the thing. And, you know, you get used to it. But my parents were funny. They were partiers. So we listened to all types of genre music. You know, we listened to gospel, rap, hip hop, which wasn't in then, but as time went on, they got a chance to listen to it. So we listened to everybody's music. We loved everybody. Yeah. Well,
I guess the hip hop and all this stuff will probably segue into our conversation from this morning.
Yeah.
You had some interesting notes to say about the recent raids on the home of P. Diddy.
Yes.
And you had some stories there if you want to fill our listeners and our viewers in on what you think is going on there.
Sure, I'd be happy to. I used to work with P. Diddy's cousin at Wham-O.
Right.
And he had shared some things with me about him.
Right.
And when they take you to lunch or to dinner or they want to spend time with you, they feel you out. That's their way of saying, you know, can she be trusted or is she reliable?
Right.
So we went to lunch. And by the time he told me all this stuff, I was like a novice because that was my first time ever working in entertainment, you know, sector.
Right.
And he says, well, my cousin does this, that. And I'm like, really? Who does stuff like that? That's crazy. And he was doing some recordings for him during the time when Biggie Smalls and Tupac were there. And that situation was really a deadly thing. And he had to kind of run for his life because in situations like that, bullets know no one.
Right.
And he wasn't able to receive the rest of his money from the contract from Diddy, his cousin.
Okay.
And so he had to come here to Pittsburgh, but he's from Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And see, Trevin's mother and P. Diddy's mother are sisters.
Oh,
and he gave Trevin, like, you know, Trevin could have been big like him, but he told me, he said, Maria, there were just some things that I didn't like. And when you start to compromise and sell yourself out, you can be sucked into this. And I know when I worked at the radio station, I saw a lot of things. And you don't see a lot of things.
Right. No,
and some things you keep your mouth shut and some things, you know.
Sure. Now, some of the, obviously, the raid on P. Diddy's homes yesterday were pretty aggressive. So they have some solid evidence that they're about to reveal. Will you be surprised at what they find?
Not really, because, you know, he was a nice person. I met him through videotaping, which is now called FaceTime and Zoom.
Okay. Yeah.
And he was very, very nice. And
who was very nice?
P. Diddy, when he was Sean Puffy Combs and, you know, all these different alias names he had.
Sure, yeah.
But I think that when you start doing things like trafficking and involving your children into your personal life and you know that it's not conducive, that is a big problem for me.
Yeah, I know.
And
right before we went on the air, they had just arrested a 25-year-old former Syracuse basketball player who was a tool for P. Diddy for drugs and guns and so forth.
Right.
You know, it's just sad that, you know, money, you know, breeds power, and this is what usually happens, and people's demons come out in the worst way with these types of situations. But so your dealings with P. Diddy, whether FaceTime or video chatting, were pretty positive?
Yes, he was very nice. I mean, like when he would call, since I was a receptionist, and, you know, I'd say, hello, this is Maria Davis, you know, welcome to Wham-O, la da da da. And he'd say, hey, Maria, this is Sean. Okay.
Right.
And I'm like, Sean who? And then it was P. Diddy. And then it was Puffy. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. And he would call to see if Trevin was there. And he would always, you know, give me nice things like, you know, his Ciroc vodka and his perfume and numerous gift cards.
Yeah, you said that. Yeah, you got gifts from him. Okay.
Yes.
So are you a little shocked to hear about the Justin Bieber stories and the Usher stories?
Yeah. Yeah. That really shocked me. I was like, what? But if you remember, he did have a reality TV show on.
Yeah.
And he was grooming up and coming stars then.
Right.
But they were already established. They weren't even in that like little concave of, you know, filth, as I call it. And I just think it's just so sad to have to go through those measures to be a successful artist.
Yeah, I mean, Hollywood has been unraveled in the last few years. Harvey Weinstein, everything like that. You know, a lot of people have been convicted and so forth. And, you know, the Hollywood casting couch is turning into a realistic proven thing now. And, you know, some people are defending it, some people are corroborating it. So, you know, it's a shame that, you know, a successful guy like Sean P. Diddy Combs could be affiliated with that stuff. But, you know, we don't know. I mean, you know, we only know what we do know. But when it gets to this type of level of raids of this type of nature and things like that, they pretty much get an idea of something's going on, even though nobody was arrested and everybody in this country is innocent and
Until proven guilty.
Right. So, I mean, you know, all we could do is, and by the time it reaches the press, sometimes I feel it's so distorted that, you know, that we're, you know, we don't know what the real deal is. And, you know, and it depends on what kind of media, how they take a look at it, whether some people defend it, whether they go along with it. I don't know. But, you know, it's a shame. But it was just amazed that we had that conversation and that you were, you know, you met him, or you know, whether it's video, face chatting, whatever, not many people can say that. So but you know you were connected in that little roundabout way. So but nonetheless, so WrestleMania season's upon us. If you had to take one match out of WrestleMania, I know I'm putting you on the spot, what is the match you are most looking forward to, and what do you think the outcome will be?
I'm looking for The Rock and Cody. And I need to be the ref for that, because I'll tell you, I would make sure that Cody would win.
Are you talking about the tag team match?
Yes, the tag team match.
The tag team match, yeah. Just the Attitude Era obviously surfaced at 11:05 on Monday night as the blood returned.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And Phil, did you know they edited out, Maria too, did you know they edited out the trash barrel being thrown across his forehead? They edited that out. That's how he got open. And they edited that out because they thought it was deemed too violent, even though the blood and everything else.
Oh, my gosh.
It did not make sense to me. Phil, what are your thoughts on that? Attitude Era, really not Attitude Era? I don't know. You tell me.
Very selective. I think, again, it's going to be a build. I think they're not going to throw it all out there immediately. It almost seems like they're hemming and hawing in what they do. Blood is okay, but the fans can't chant, "Die, Rocky, die." We have to block that out. So very selective. It's a very curious kind of censoring process right now. But ultimately, I think the buildup is going to lead, when they make the jump to the next platform, that it's really going to be you know, a crazy show and probably more attitude than we experienced back in the late 90s. So I think we're in for a hell of a ride.
And not for nothing, that jump ain't happening for a while. I know they got to go till October 31st or October 1st, but you know, what are you going to do after WrestleMania? Are they putting all their cards on the table right now? And then what happens after that? So, you know, because we don't know, The Rock is slated to be doing a movie after this, so we're not going to see him in post-WrestleMania matches, that's for sure. I know they want him in Saudi Arabia, but that might be a one-off. But
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I got the Attitude Era feeling at 11:05 on Monday night, but then when they told, then I read the next day, they edited out him throwing the garbage can at his head, which cut him open, because I'm like, oh, they really cut him open when because we saw him being thrown into the truck.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, that wasn't the case.
And the implication there is it was a hard way blood, I guess, huh? This was, this was something that came accidentally. So, and I guess they really couldn't screen out the blood so much, because it was important that we see Cody in that very vulnerable state. You know, I just worried that he ruined his suit. He's always so stylish, isn't he?
Yeah.
And clean shaven.
It's Maria, you dig him, I know.
the talk of the town yesterday was the fact that there was a trailer across the way that had a picture of John Cena and Stone Cold on it. It wasn't a WrestleMania trailer, but they said that was put there on purpose. And lo and behold, it's, you know, The Undertaker, Stone Cold, all those people are slated to be, John Cena will be making it somewhat of an appearance at WrestleMania coming up in a couple of weeks. So, but Maria, I want to thank you so much for coming on What a Day.
It's
been incredible. I seen you in the chats and so forth. I saw you in the chats earlier. I'm like, you got to get backstage, Maria. Let's go. And Phil, I want to thank you for coming on as well.
Oh, anytime I can hang with Maria for a little bit, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I know, Maria, I'll be seeing you in the chats later on, especially tomorrow night during Wrestling's Hottest Game Show, Death 30. Phil, I'll see you then as well.
Maria, great seeing you. God bless you.
God bless you too, Phil. Thank you, Joe. Love you.
All right, folks. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Thanks.
The Monty and the Pharaoh Show is brought to you by...
Because wine is your second favorite four-letter word. California wine, New York attitude, good fucking wine.
Yeah.
Tired of that same old breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Same old tasting scrambled eggs, burger, that dinner steak, ribs, or pork chops? Why not add a little bit of spice or just a touch of heat to make the difference? Change that scrambled egg with a little bit of Johnny Fabulous's John Cena Sr.'s Million Dollar Jalapeno Hot Sauce. Great on burgers, steaks, chops, and those barbecued ribs.
And Nitro's Garage for all your automotive needs. Call 646-675-2349. That's 646-675-2349. For all your automotive needs, Nitro's Garage, ask for Jack.
Do you treat your dog as part of the family? Well, so do we. So why not celebrate your pup's birthday with the ultimate party box? Check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Party Pup Info, and let us make your pup's party or any celebration perfection.
M&J Video Games and Collectibles. Sport and non-sport cards, wrestling items, autographed items. We buy, sell, and trade. M&J Video Games and Collectibles, located at 1049 Queen Street, Southington, Connecticut. Call us at 1-860-479-9223 or 860-93-GAMES. M&J, Video Games and Collectibles.
All right, folks, welcome back to What a Day with Joe Lowry. I want to thank again the First Lady of Wrestling, Ms. Maria Antoinette Davis, for coming on. And of course, the President of Thursday Night, Phil DeCesare, joining us. Greatly appreciated. Maria had some great stories. I just had to get her on and share some of that stuff. I can't believe she touched Shawn Michaels' chest and that Ric Flair almost got his wrestling license suspended in Pennsylvania. You never knew. See the stuff you find out every day. I got to tell you. So anyways, I probably let the cat out of the bag on this one earlier, but Cadbury Easter Egg Bunny is a raccoon named Louie. That's right. This year's Cadbury Bunny is a raccoon named Louie. He's the first in his species to earn this title, the company said. The company announced that Louie the raccoon, a two-year-old pet from Miami, Florida, was the winner in the sixth annual Cadbury Bunny tryouts and will have the role of the 2025 Cadbury tryout in commercials. That's right, folks, an Easter tradition for the brand, as we all know. Remember that? Anyways, Louie's owner, Jamie, rescued him in 2021. He was deemed unfit to return to the wild. Now, the raccoon won the hearts of voters of Instagram and his friendly face and his special skill where he creates paintings to be sold to benefit wildlife and rescue and rehabilitation centers. So there you go. The Cadbury Easter Egg Bunny is a raccoon this year. Unbelievable. But not as unbelievable as this next story. And I kind of saved this for last because it's going to have some explaining to do. For all you NFL fans out there, a new rule has been implemented. That's right. The NFL owners yesterday approved a new kickoff rule that is basically taking the chance of anything exciting happening on a kickoff away. That's right. This rule pretty much mirrors the XFL Spring League rule. So here it goes. I'm going to try to explain it to you. if you can understand it. If not, you might need a visual. I'll have to go to the YouTube for this. But standard kicks will now begin from the 35-yard line, but everything else will look different. The 10-kick coverage players will line up at the opposing 40. Crazy. As you can see in the picture there, with five on each side of the field. Now, the return team will have at least nine blockers lined up in the what they call setup zone between the 30 and 35-yard line, with at least seven of those players touching the 35. I'm already confused. Up to two returners will be allowed inside the 20. Only the kicker and two returners will be allowed to move until the ball hits the ground or is touched by a returner inside the 20. Now, any kick that reaches the end zone in the air can be returned, or the receiving team can opt for a touchback with possession at the 30. Oh boy, I'm really confused. Any kick that reaches the end zone in the air and goes out of bounds or out of the end zone will result in a touchback. Ball will go to the 30. If a ball hits a returner on the ground before the end zone and goes into the end zone, a touchback will be at the 20, or the kick can be returned. So there is a chance of a return. Wow, okay. Anyways, any kick received in the field of play must be returned. And if a kick goes out of bounds before the end zone or doesn't reach the landing zone, the team gets the ball at the 40. You follow me so far? I'm lost. Under current rules, any touchback or if a returner calls for a fair catch in the field of play results the ball at the 25. Now, I've just really explained you the quick notes version of this generic form of the rule. There are other rules for squib kicks and onside kicks. I don't even dare touch that as well. But I would advise to hit YouTube and watch some XFL's kickoffs to better understand this rule and to visualize it. I don't know. Ever since they got rid of the kickoffs in general with the touchbacks, and I think only 37% of kicks this year were returned, it just keeps going down and down. And I think one owner, I want to say the owner of Denver or somebody, didn't vote for it. But nonetheless, it was passed unanimously. So be on the lookout for new kickoffs in the NFL. I should say lack thereof kickoffs, because it's absolutely crazy. Anyways, upcoming shows here, Monty and the Pharaoh. They are tomorrow night. Big show for Monty and the Pharaoh. They have a double whammy here. Fresh off the show last night, the Brutus Beefcake Vice TV show, Dark Side of the Ring. Missy Beefcake will be on the air with them from 8 to 9 o'clock, and then from 9 to 10, ESPN's Sean Coachman, the coach, Jonathan Coachman, former WWE star as well, announcer, will be on the show. But right before that, you can hit up the 30, Wrestling's Hottest Game Show, Thursday nights, right before that show. So join us as myself, Dan, Phil, and the player all vie for that vital the 30 championship. And of course, Friday, join us for Wrestling Remembered. This week, we're going to be talking the old After magazines, wrestling magazines, yes. And of course, Benny has got a nice graphic to show everybody there as well. And don't forget, we recap the whole week, Sunday night at 8 o'clock, 7 Central, with my ridiculous recap show. That is for sure. What else do I got in my notes here? Let me see. Well, yeah, Jade Cargill. You know Jade Cargill, right? Well, she's going to be on SmackDown this Friday night on Fox. Wrestling fans have been curious as to what her role will be. And believe it or not, folks, I do have a video there. This person was at the Portland Trail Blazers Atlanta Hawk game in Atlanta the other night and began rolling the videotape asking what she was going to do. Here it is.
Keep watching. Just keep watching.
I
need y'all to watch this Friday. Just watch.
Yep, so there it is. Jade Cargill at the Atlanta Hawks Portland Trailblazers game the other night. She was the fan began rolling and said, "What are you going to be doing?" And she's like, "Just watch." She's trying to get the scoop, and obviously we're going to have to wait. But Jade Cargill slated for Fox SmackDown on Fox this Friday night, so you want to check that out. And I think I'm pretty much doing it right here. Yeah, so we're pretty much out of time. I went way over tonight. That's going to do for us here, folks, on this Wicked Wednesday, this What a Day Wednesday, the week's middle finger. You know what I like to call it and all that good stuff. You know what I'm saying? But before I leave you, I want to thank everybody who's joined us on the chat and on the replay live, all that good stuff. Your support is greatly appreciated. Money and the Pharaoh, greatly appreciate you as well. Until next time, let me leave you with this. I'm Joe Lowry. What a day.